Well, as you might have guessed from those two readings, I want to talk a little bit about law this morning. Specifically about God's law and its relationship to our journey of faith. But let's begin with law generally. Why do we have laws? I would suggest we have laws because, and we humans are creatures of laws, because we also are creatures who break the law. I mean, there'd be no reason to have laws and rules and such if we were, by nature, always wonderful, good people. I mean, for example, if we all always drove at an appropriate, safe speed, there'd be no reason for speed limits. But I suspect they found out pretty quickly after the invention of the automobile that there were people who were going to drive recklessly. Oh, so let's make some laws. That's certainly one of the reasons God was giving the Hebrew people and us laws. And this morning we read the bedrock of God's law, these Ten Commandments, as we call them. Of course, these are not the only laws that God gave to Moses. If you've read through, if you've slogged through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you know they're filled with all sorts of laws that God gives about almost every aspect of life. The reason being, obviously, because the people weren't already behaving this way. I mean, why does God say, for example, do not kill? Because unfortunately, human beings have a propensity to do just the opposite. So God gives these laws to his people. They also gave them a certain identity. If you want to be my people, you will follow my laws, says God. And that was one of the purposes of the law in the time of Moses. Moses says it, if you obey these laws, you will win God's favor, essentially. Obey the law, and you will be saved. Of course, there is a problem with that idea. We're kind of getting back to the whole purpose of the law initially. The problem with that idea is we cannot follow the law. Even these simple Ten Commandments, we cannot follow them perfectly. I think this is one of the things that John Calvin got right. I know he'd appreciate me saying that, too. I believe in original sin, at least the idea of we all mess up. Despite our best attempts, we always fall short of true goodness. There's something in our nature that somehow prevents it. Probably has to do with ego and will. But that's for another sermon. I mean, even these Ten Commandments, especially if you take them not just as prohibitions, but as having a positive side. So when it says, do not kill, it's not like at the end of the day you can say, oh, I didn't kill anyone today, I'm a good person. No, it also means promote life in all sorts of ways. The life of the creation, the life of your neighbor. Promote life and work to encourage abundant living. Let me take us one that sounds simple. The Sabbath. God says, and this commandment runs throughout Scripture. God says again and again and again, Sabbath day, seventh day. Take one day a week to rest and focus on me. All day, for one day. How often do we really do that? Especially in our busy modern world. Even that simple law, God says, hey, here's an easy one, rest. But God, I've got all this stuff to do. We can't follow the law perfectly. That's one reason that Paul, among others, but Paul's really one of the first who said, you know, there's a problem with the law. And Paul reminds us he was a creature of the law. He was a Pharisee. These people who said, you must follow God's law to the slightest detail, but whose hearts were far away from God. And Paul says, I used to be one of those people. It was all about the law. But then he literally saw the light. And Paul says, now all that stuff, being a Pharisee, being of the right tribe, being circumcised, under the law, blameless. He says all of that now, not the law itself, but all that stuff associated with the law. He says all of that I now consider rubbish. Because I now know the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. Of having faith in Christ. In even wanting to become more and more like Christ. All of that is of surpassing value compared to the law. Because the law cannot save us because we cannot fulfill it perfectly. So Paul says, and of course our Reformed ancestors in the Reformation took this up, we are saved not by what we do, we are saved by faith, by grace, by knowing Christ, by having an experience of Christ in our lives and trying to become more and more like Christ. So what really Paul is saying is a shift about the law. The law is no longer the end as it was. The end, the goal for so long seemed to be follow the law. What Paul is saying is no, the goal is be more and more like Christ. The law is one of the means of reaching that goal. The law helps us. The law gives us those boundaries. Here's how God wants you to behave. If you were going to be like Christ. But it's not the end in itself. That was also the Pharisees' problem. They thought the end was follow the law. And they missed the whole point of it, which is have faith. Become more and more like Christ. And that's why Paul can say, I haven't reached that yet. None of us have reached that yet. Yet another thing I think John Calvin and others got right. Perfection eludes us in this world. We can never attain it here in this life. But we keep trying. As Paul says, we keep pressing on towards the goal. We're not there yet. We may never get there in this life. But we keep moving in that direction. I was reminded of the only thing I remember from calculus in high school. And even that is pretty fuzzy, this one thing. But the one thing I remember was the idea of a limit, which is a function, a series, that you never quite reach it. You can come up almost next to it, but you never get to it. And that's fully all I remember. So if you want more information, go look it up. But I remember being fascinated by that idea. You can never reach it. I think perfection is like that limit in calculus. We go towards it, we can never reach it, but that doesn't mean we stop moving in that direction. And that's what Paul tells us. Keep pressing on. You're not perfect. You're not going to follow the law perfectly. You can't. But that doesn't mean you don't stop trying, attempting. Knowing God is with you and God is gracious and merciful and has a sense of humor, we keep moving in a particular direction. That's what's important as Christians. We move in a certain direction together. And forward progress is often not a straight line. So we take two steps forward and one step back, or one and a half back, or one and three quarters back, but we're still moving forward. And we veer off course, perhaps, get distracted, but we come back. And the trend, the direction, is towards Christ. Be more and more like Christ. Know Christ and move in that direction. And so we press on. I had a professor in seminary who, wonderful professor. He was also my advisor. I remember he would we would ask him about, he taught this sort of introduction to Christian history and all this, and he would say, I can sum up the Christian journey in one phrase. He'd say, keep on keeping on. And that's what Paul is telling us. Don't lose heart. Even though we are imperfect, struggling creatures, even though it may take all your energy on any particular day just to move a little bit forward, take one small step, but keep moving in that direction, Paul says. Keep pressing on towards the goal. Not there yet. It may even be out of sight on some days, but keep moving in that direction. Let the law help you, but don't let it hinder you. It's not the end. Being perfect is not the end, is not the goal. The goal is not to finish the race first or cross the finish line first. The goal is get there. You may crawl across the finish line, but get there. And so here's your spiritual homework for the week. Even if you only move an inch, make sure it's in the right direction and keep pressing on. Amen.